This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry with part two of the message that I had just previously put on audio from October 2000. This is part two of that same message, dated for November of the year 2000, and the title of the message is, Will the Real Christians Please Stand Up? And as I said, this is part number two. Our subject scripture is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 16, and verse number 25, where we find these words recorded. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Okay, as I said in part one, I began addressing what I know is a failure of the Christian community that has led and is continuing to lead this nation to the brink of destruction. I make no bones about it. That is where we are heading, and we Christians have no one to blame but ourselves. My reason for saying this is that far too many of you are not following the guidelines of the Bible. That's plain and simple. The Bible tells us to be a peculiar people. You can find that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Set apart from the world and its way of thinking. In other words, we are to be sanctified. Yet, in the instances of choosing leaders, you abandon godly directions and get into worldly or carnal thinking. What is this person going to do for me? How will I benefit from their being in office? How will my friends and family and associates feel about this person? Who cares what they think about that person? You had better be concerned about what God feels about the choices that you make. Let me tell you about the Republicans and their agenda and what the Democrats think about it. Some time back, either at the early part of 2000, or the late part of 1999, when the Republicans were deciding who to nominate for their man to run for president, a question was put to the five frontrunners in a debate. The question was, who do you feel was the greatest person that has had the greatest impact in the world, or something along that line, I can't remember. George Bush, George W. Bush, the son of George H.W. Bush, answered, I believe it has to be Jesus Christ. Now remember, this is a Republican. The next day, the Democrats and the news media got ballistic and began talking about how the religious right had gotten to the leadership of the party, and we don't need that type of thinking in the White House. This was, again, from the Democrats, and the news media. I'm talking to you, Christian, that support the Democratic Party. These are your friends. The very thing that all of us should be doing is the very thing the Democrats, news media, and dare I say, some preachers condemned. Oh, the Democrats and these preachers say we believe our religious beliefs should be private. After all, we don't want to upset anybody and their beliefs. Friend, let me tell you something. If that is your belief, then you don't have anything worth talking about at all. Some of you say, well, I let everyone think that I vote Democrat, but I really vote Republican. Then what you are saying is you are ashamed of doing the right thing. Not only that, but a lot of people vote for Democrats because they think you do. You are dealing with deception. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of him in front of men, he will be ashamed of you in front of the Father. You find that in Luke chapter 9, verse number 26. Jesus told the story of a man who found a treasure and went and told everybody. The best thing that can happen to you is Jesus Christ and him being Lord of your life. Yet you want to keep it a secret? I'll bet if you win the lottery that you play every week. I'm not talking to all of you, but I know I'm talking to most of you. You will tell everybody. You should be shouting his, Christ's, praises all over the place. The Bible says be instant, in season and out of season. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. That is what George Bush did, and most of your complaints really stem from the fact that he, a Republican, is showing you up for what you really are. Now, it goes without saying that all Democrats and all Republicans are not bad people. However, if one seriously looks into just who is running the party and what their agenda is, you will find the truth. Leaders are, by their very nature, leaders. They lead and others follow. So then, the point I want you to ask yourself is, why am I following this person and party? The Apostle Paul said, we should follow those that are following Christ. We should be sure that the one we are following is the one that Christ approves of. I mentioned that most of you are following the Democrats for one of these reasons. What are they going to do for me? What will my family and friends think about my choice? Those two questions are the biggest traps that the devil has for you, and you can see them pop up when the Democrats start talking about if this person, a Republican, is elected, you will lose your job, you will lose your benefits, you will lose your Medicare. People won't be able to buy their medicine unless they sacrifice on their food. Your kids will starve and suffer. Nothing but fear. Fear F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real is the real enemy of the world, and it seems of a lot of Christians. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. You find that in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Fear then is a spirit, and it comes from the devil. Therefore, anyone that is reacting to fear is not following Christ or God. They are following or serving the devil. One day, Jesus and his disciples were walking along a road, and they saw a group of people being delivered by an individual that was not part of their group, the disciples' group. And they told Jesus, "We stopped him." Jesus answered and says, "Those that are not against us are for us." You can find that in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 9, from verse number 38 down to verse 48. To turn that around, to still be saying the same thing, those that are not for us are against us. There is no way, and I repeat, no way, that any Christian can be for God and yet follow the ways of the Democrats. Picture yourself in a boat on the ocean with a group of people that tell you, "Join us and we will go to a place where everyone is loved and there are plenty of treasures for all." So you get in the boat, and as soon as they leave shore, they start drilling holes in the bottom of the boat so that it begins to sink. The more you try to plug the holes, the more they drill. The end result is the boat sinks, and you possibly going to drown. Well, in like manner, you are on the sea of life, and you are in a boat that is being destroyed by your associates. The more you try to get things straight, the more they tear up. This nation has been at a crossroads for a long time, and what happens in this election may very well seal our doom if the Democrats get what they want, and that is the presidency and control of both houses of the government. It's interesting, as a side note here, as I read this passage of scripture, how fitting it is that we're in that same position today as we were back in 2000. God delivered us back then so that George Bush did win the office and had a majority in both houses of the Congress and Senate, and he was able to get a lot of things done to benefit the people. And the Democrats, you know, they were having their conniption fits. Well, here we are in 2022, and the Democrats are angling to try to do again what they've always tried to do before, and that is get control of the House and the Senate. And usually they do that by demonizing the Republican Party and hoping that people fall for it. But there's a greater thing at stake this time around, because recently the Supreme Court basically overturned the Roe versus Wade decision regarding abortion, and that really got Democrats upset, and the people start protesting. Not all the people now, but people that supported abortion and things like that, and the Democrats said, well, we need to have more people in voted in the Congress and the Senate so we can do this, that, and other. And now they're talking about the fact they want to impeach judges from the Supreme Court for lying to them when they were being questioned about their stance on abortion and would they vote to overturn it. And see, that's what you have when Democrats don't get what they want. They start going crazy, and that's what they're doing now. But anyway, getting back to this, like I said, these people will do anything to get it. Now, after the flap about George Bush talking about Jesus and their attacks on him, the Democrats regrouped when it looked like a lot of their supporters were seeing them for what they really are. In other words, they were being seen as anti-God, and a lot of their supporters are, you know, Christians or claim to be Christians anyway, Catholics and Baptists and things like that. And people were saying, we gotta seriously think about this. These people are actually talking about going against God. In other words, they were open about what it was they were trying to do, and they saw where it was not going to work, so they had to switch up. And so at the time, Vice President Al Gore, who was the vice president under the previous, well, who he was still president then, Bill Clinton, decided to take some action to try to quell the fears, so to speak, and the image of what it was that the Democrats were about. And what he did is he chose as his running mate an openly God-fearing man by the name of Joe Lieberman. Now, irrespective of him being Jewish, which is not the issue, he started talking about God, and not one Democrat or news media person said anything about him doing it. However, that shouldn't surprise anyone, because that is what they have done all the time. They have preachers that talk about God all the time, but they hardly ever say anything about Jesus. Why? Because to them, Jesus is a stumbling block. Talk about him and right away you offend Muslims, the Jews, the Buddhists, and all other religious groups that live in this country. Whereas if you just use the word God, then that could include all religions that believe that there is a God. Now, this term, the religious right, goes right along with what I'm saying. Have you ever wondered why we are called the religious right? It is because, excuse my bragging, we are always right. There is not one thing that we have warned about that has not come true. That's right. And there's that word right again. Not one. When a person is walking in the paths that God says they should walk in, then God reveals to them truths that allow them to see problems that ordinary folk don't see. And they naturally think it's foolishness. You can find a scripture referring to that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 27. This is why we are mocked when we warn of bad consequences stemming from the legalization of certain things. We warned about the effects of abortion, sex education, gay rights, AIDS, environmentalism, animal rights, and the Democrats' agenda. Because of abortions, 1.5 million a year since it was legalized in 72, our kids are killing each other at a higher and higher rates as God's judgment is being poured out in vengeance for this atrocity. Sex education, designed to teach kids about sex as a means of lowering the instances of teen pregnancies, has caused the numbers to more than quadruple. Environmentalism and animal rights laws have resulted in millions of jobs lost and this nation being held hostage to foreign oil-producing nations, resulting in high gas prices that we see today. Now, remember now, this was written in 2000, and we had high gas prices back then because the gas prices were going up to about a little over a dollar or a dollar and a half or $2. And what have we got today? Now we're up to, in some areas, we had gotten up to $6 a gallon. And people are complaining about that, and naturally, along with that comes the incidence of higher food prices, higher cost of living and such, because all the products that we purchase and things, they have to be delivered in trucks and planes and carrying on. That burns gas, and the people that have to ship the stuff have to pay for the gas, and they pass that on down to the consumers. Anyway, let's go on further. Gay rights laws have allowed gays to be able to adopt children and sue anyone or institution that says anything negative against them. If it has not already happened, these suits will end up being filed against preachers and Christians who dare preach the truth about their lifestyle from the Bible in the pulpits of their churches. They may even get a law passed to destroy all Bibles. Are you hearing me, Christian? Civil rights laws have opened up the doors for people to sue others based on nothing more than the perception that they are not hired, allowed to move into certain communities, promoted or otherwise stopped from doing what they want to do based on the color of their skin. Also, for these laws to be enforced, they must of necessity take rights from others away. There is not one law that the Democrats have passed that has not backfired on them and us. We warned you about all of these and were right, so we're batting 100. Now you're being warned about the Democrats' new push for power. They follow or maybe lead the religious left. You never heard of them, have you? Well, they are out there. Who are they, you say? They are among other Christians who have left the Bible, left the way of Christ, left the paths of righteousness, and they have left common sense, all for the promise of a womb to the tomb care that the Democrats promote and the filthy lucre that comes along with it. If you think for one moment that the Democrats are your friends, you need to discern the signs of the time. They never do anything that will liberate people from the bondage that they have imposed on them. They refuse to give us tax cuts. They refuse to eliminate programs that are outdated and don't work, which is essentially all of them. They penalize people for being married and refuse to abolish that tax, the marriage tax. They refuse to abolish the death inheritance tax, which punishes your survivors by taxing them for what you leave them. They say they want to tax the rich and give the middle class a tax break. That is a lie and a deception from the pit of hell. Because if you increase taxes on the rich, they, the rich and corporations, will simply pass that tax increase on to us in the form of higher prices for their products and services. And many times it will only make them richer. The Hollywood crowd, Hellywood, to you commoners out there, you might well say the Hollywood crowd, some of the richest in the nation and most corrupt, support the Democrats. Now it appears to me that if they know their taxes are going to be increased, then why support the ones who are targeting them? Something doesn't add up. There is something else that they are looking at that we common folks don't see. Oh, you don't see. I can see some of it off of the bat. All of these lies and deceit, of which I have not begun to scratch the surface of, from the Democrats, not to mention attacking Christians, and yet some of you that are pastors who like to keep the sanctuary free from distractions, noise, and foolishness during services will allow the devil to come in, get in the pulpit, and to speak to God's people. Woe unto you! It's time for Christians to stand up against this foolishness. It's past time. Let the Democrats know that you are not going to play their game. Let these pastors know that you don't want anyone that represents the Democrats speaking to you, especially in church. Try to save your job and you will lose it. Try to save your health benefits and you will lose them. Try to save your standard of living and you will lose it. Try to save your reputation. You'll lose it. Whatever you try to save by voting for the Democrats, mark my words, you will lose it. Why? Because you are looking to the enemy for your salvation instead of God. How about losing your soul? Are any of these worth that? Anytime a man can go to church on Sunday morning and wave his Bible at his supporters, then go to the White House and engage in fornication in the White House, and people don't get outraged by it, or rather, if they do, then we are called mean-spirited. And people are going around with t-shirts saying, "Leave the president alone. There is something terribly wrong." It might be a little different if he had apologized and repented, but he refers to brush it off as not really having sex. What do the Republicans stand for? Less taxes, less governmental control over our lives, a return to, dare I say, morality and decency, and especially God, freedom for parents to choose the schools that are right for their kids and not the government, putting prayer and the Ten Commandments back into the schools, which because of their removal has turned them, the schools, into war zones. The Democrats don't want any of that because it would mean that some of you might get well off enough to get off the government dole and stop looking to them for solutions to your problems. That is why all of their schemes are designed to enslave more of you. Now, if you are a real Christian, you know that the only true answer to your problems is not government, not money, but Jesus Christ. Jesus sets the path for us to follow and gives us direction into who it is that we should be associating with. Jesus said, among other things, by their fruits, the things that they do and say, you shall know them. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse number 16. That means, if you want to know if a person is a follower of Jesus Christ, then they should be showing some types of fruits or actions in word or deed. By the same token, if you want to know if someone is following the devil, look at what they're doing and saying and see if it lines up with what the Bible says. A Republican glorifies Jesus Christ, and the Democrats have a hissy fit. The Republicans feel we need to return to the values of our forefathers, and the Democrats and their supporters start talking about the religious right trying to get the agenda into the White House. Everything that is biblically correct, the Democrats are against. So why are you, Christian, supporting them? It's time to stand up like a man, or rather, like the Christian that God has called you to be. Some of you feel that you just won't vote at all, especially if it means voting for a Republican. Do you see how brainwashed you are? Not only that, but if you don't choose, then that is as bad as choosing the Democrats. Some of you might be thinking that I am saying all Democrats are bad. That is not the case. The problem is with those that control the party, the liberals, most of whom are descendants of or follow the thinking of a former slave owner who, after they had set the slaves free, essentially joined what is now the Democratic Party to try to get them slaves back. Sure, they have some good God-fearing people with all good intentions, but these people have to compromise what they believe in to get along with those that are diametrically opposed to their beliefs. The goal of the party is paramount. When they are asked how come they didn't keep their promise, they are told to give one answer, and that is, the Republicans blocked it. When asked, why didn't you vote for the tax cuts, they are told to say, the Republicans' plans would only help the rich. Both of these are smokescreens to keep you fearful of voting for any other party but them. Yet, in the long run, it is this very party whom you should fear. All you have to do is remember what it was like from 1976 through 1980 when they had control, total control, over Washington with Jimmy Carter at the helm. Massive layoffs, long gas lines were the order of the day. This time, things will be a lot worse. Well, they are a lot worse now, and they can still get a lot worse than what they are now if the Democrats get what they want from this upcoming election in 2022 and then again in 2024. The church is supposed to be the head, but too many of you are the tail. The church is supposed to be above, but you are beneath. Jesus said he is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. But that won't happen if the church compromises with or becomes the footstool of the devil. In order to be an overcomer, you have to be in the battle. As I mentioned earlier, this is warfare. Most of you are siding with the enemy so you won't get your feelings hurt. There's a song out, it's called Onward Christian Soldiers. It doesn't say retreat. Will the real Christians please stand up and fight? Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre, hoping that you've gotten something from these two parts of this message and that you will take heed to them and do the right thing before it's too late, because you're going to pay the price for it. If not now, later. May God bless you and your families real good. Until again, good day.